This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Institute live webinar with Sister Sara Sultan, one of our instructors, who is also a licensed mental health counselor and a licensed professional counselor. Today, we're going to be tackling the topic, processing pain, how to stay engaged with Palestine without emotional burnout. Jazakallah khair for joining us. I know it's taking a second to get to all of your phones and to your feeds, so we'll let you guys join in, and please let us know where you're coming in from. Awesome sauce. Please let us know where you're coming in from and how you're doing. SubhanAllah, it has been 54 days since the start of this current, I don't know what to call it anymore, SubhanAllah. There's so many words. Most of the ones that you hear used on our medias are so inaccurate. But alhamdulillah, this has been, SubhanAllah, such an educational and such a revitalizing experience for the Muslim community so that we get in touch with how to deal with times of difficulty and how to support our brothers and sisters in dealing with one of the most difficult experiences in the entire history of the world. So I jazakallah khair to those who are making it live with us. If you're coming in through the recording, assalamu alaikum and welcome to you guys as well. Please take a second to share this stream so that others can also benefit. It's been a difficult time for everyone, subhanAllah, and it's unprecedented, this level of access that we've had to some of the difficult news and the pictures and the imagery and just the information about the losses and the types of losses that are being experienced in Palestine right now. So I know it's difficult to hear, and a lot of us have been consuming a lot more sad and negative news than we have probably for a very long time. So we wanted to take a second. Here at Al Maghrib, we try to solve all the problems that we can, that we're equipped to in the Ummah, through knowledge, through giving you guys access to knowledge, to making it a source of comfort, a source of guidance for you, and making it easy to access through these webinars and through these experiences that we host. And alhamdulillah, one of the ways that we've been able to do that during this time is that we announced or we launched a few classes focused on some of the difficulties that people have been experiencing. And one of them was Inside Out, Outside In, our mental health course that's taught by professionals in the field, as well as Dr. Omar Suleiman. And we made it available for pay what you can so that everyone is able to access it around the globe, and so that you can benefit from this while you're trying to navigate these difficult feelings and emotions and frustrations and a lot more than that. And for that, we had Sister Sara Sultan ready to join us today to address our topic. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair to those who have joined us and who have commented. I see a couple of salams here in the chat. Brother Usman, walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah from Nigeria. Maghrib was just in Nigeria, alhamdulillah, for the One Ummah conference. And Sister Kaniz from London, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Once again, please continue to introduce yourselves here in the chat. My name is Sister Hafsa. I'm going to be your host, but I'm going to be passing it off now to our beloved speaker, Sister Sara Sultan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sister Sara, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy to be here with you, Sister Hafsa, and with all of you who are here listening. Jazakallah khair for joining us.
Barakallah feek. It's of course always amazing to have you, whether it's live, whether it's some of the video reminders that you've been putting out on this topic. I know as a therapist, or you know, as a professional in this field, it I'm sure it's been a really busy and a very difficult month for you. And I feel like a lot of the challenges that people are having are very repetitive. So I'm glad that we're in one space so that we can tackle how to approach this from an Islamic standpoint and how to stay engaged without burning out emotionally. So I'm excited to jump into this topic. I'll pass it off to you, inshallah, and we'll ask you questions at the end. Bismillah.
Sounds good. Jazakallah khair. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Jazakallah khair to everybody for joining us today. This is obviously a very heavy and intense and overwhelming time for us all. And just to be able to come together and talk about it and talk about ways to navigate it so that we can navigate those emotions without burning out, so that we can stay engaged and we can stay connected to the struggle of our brothers and sisters is just so important. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for being here and being willing to stay engaged with this topic despite how hard it is. And so I wanted to jump in, inshallah, to first acknowledge, and this is a really important thing that we need to acknowledge, is that what we're witnessing, what we're seeing is not normal. We have never lived in a time when genocide has been broadcasted in the way that it has been seen to us, right? Through social media, where you're experiencing almost a constant live stream of atrocity after atrocity, violence after violence, trauma after trauma, and pain after pain. And we have not, in the history of our lives, the histories of anybody's lives, ever been exposed to it unless you're living it. And so this vicarious trauma, which is what it's called, which is kind of like trauma by proxy, where witnessing the trauma that our brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through can lead to traumatic experiences for ourselves. And this is why we need to know how to navigate it, right? So you might be struggling with intrusive thoughts where you're trying to, you know, you might be doing something in your daily life and suddenly you get, you know, you get a sudden flashback to an image or a video that you've watched. You might be experiencing nightmares. I know that my friends and I, when we spend time together, we're talking about the nighttime wake-ups that tend to happen, right? Where you wake up in the middle of the night, you wake up with anxiety. You're like, where does this anxiety come from? And you realize it's because of this, right? It's because of everything that we're witnessing. And so it's so important to acknowledge when we're trying to navigate this, that this is not normal, that what we're seeing is not normal. And it should never be normal that this happens to begin with. But the fact that we can witness it constantly, when in the past there was one news cycle or one newspaper, or before then just a radio, right? And this was not, you know, like these types of situations were not broadcasted in the way that they are now. And so just realize that this is not normal, and it should not feel normal. So whatever you're feeling right now, whether you're feeling grief, we all are, anger, overwhelm, guilt, powerlessness, if you're feeling numb, like you can't feel anything, all of this makes sense. All of this makes sense in the drastic situation that we're in witnessing a genocide, witnessing apartheid, witnessing murder after murder. All of this makes sense. All these emotions make sense. And so the first step, if we're going to work on processing our emotions and we're going to work on navigating this experience of witnessing so much atrocity and so much violence, the first thing is to acknowledge what you're going through. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, acknowledge it. If your emotions are kind of all over the place and they're more turbulent than usual, if your patience is thinner, if your energy is lower, acknowledge it. If you're struggling to go on as you normally would have when things are not normal, or if you're afraid for your safety because of increased Islamophobia, if you're hurt because your friends haven't been speaking up or they don't share your perspective and your views on the situation, if you're experiencing survivor's guilt in living your life of ease while others are suffering so much pain, if you just can't seem to feel anything anymore and you feel numb, acknowledge it. All of these responses are real and they all make sense. And so acknowledging this is the first step to managing overwhelming feelings. And it's an amazing way to allow us to use our difficulties to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your emotion unless you acknowledge your emotion first. And difficult situations and intense emotions are an opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us with these emotions for a purpose. They are a sign. And we take it as a sign for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment, it can be really transformative. And we see this in the beautiful example of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam had given da'wah, had been calling to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years. Imagine the patience that it takes, 950 years. And then one day he calls out to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he called out to Allah saying, "I am helpless, so help me. I am helpless, so help me." He acknowledged the emotion of helplessness and he pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him. And so when we can acknowledge our emotion, when we can acknowledge how we're feeling, this allows us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that feeling, just like the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam did, and to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that process, we're connecting with him. And he's the source of all strength. He's the source of all power, the source of all change. And so connecting with him in these moments when we feel powerless and helpless is so empowering and it's so transformative. The other thing to note, you know, that I think is important to acknowledge when we're talking about emotions, you know, we're talking about the difficult emotions that we're experiencing, but it's also important to realize that in your life, you might still be experiencing positive emotions too. And that's okay. You can feel joy when you manage to achieve a goal that you worked hard toward. You can feel comfort when you hug your child. You can feel hopeful. You can feel hopeful both in finding hope in the stories and strength of the amazing, like the experience and the examples of our brothers and sisters in Palestine in witnessing their faith and their resilience. You can find hope and strength in that. You can also find hope in your own tomorrow. All of these can exist in parallel. All of these can exist in parallel. Sometimes it can feel like a betrayal to allow yourself to feel positive emotions. Can sometimes feel like a betrayal. Making dua, like, you know, the example of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, where he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am helpless, so help me. You might be experiencing in this moment almost a feeling of selfishness in making dua for yourself. So if you're struggling to, as you witness all of these videos, all of these images, all of this news, and it is overwhelming and it's hard, you might struggle to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in that struggle. Because you might think to yourself, I'm not even experiencing it. I'm just witnessing it. So what right do I have to need help to get through this? They're the ones who need help. And they absolutely do need help. They absolutely need the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we don't stop making dua for them. And not but, and simultaneously, do not limit the mercy or the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose mercy is limitless and whose capability is limitless. You can still make dua for yourself, for the people that you care about, for all of that, while also making dua for your brothers and sisters. This exists in parallel. So don't limit that mercy and that capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when these emotions really hit us, when we're flooded with pain, when we're flooded with grief, when we're flooded with overwhelm of the loss and pain that we're witnessing, what are practical tips that we can use to deal with this overload of emotion? How can we use this to navigate in this difficult time, right? What are concrete things that we can do to navigate these emotions, to process these emotions, and to keep going, to keep moving forward, and to keep staying engaged? So the first thing to note is, how are you thinking about this? How are you thinking about these feelings that are coming up for you, right? When these emotions flood and they hit you so hard, realize that these emotions are a sign of the sense of humanity that you have, and they are a sign of your innate sense of justice. And that is a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing, and we need to be grateful for that, because not everybody experiences that. Not everybody experiences that sense of grief and that sense of anger in seeing this injustice and this oppression. Be grateful that you're not one of those people, right? Be grateful that you have that sense of humanity and that you have this innate sense of justice. That is a beautiful thing. This is also, these emotions are also a sign that you are a part of a powerful ummah that cares for one another and doesn't turn a blind eye to one another's pain, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the example of the believers in their love for one another, in their mercy for one another, in their compassion for one another as a body. And when any part of that body aches, then the whole body struggles with sleeplessness and fever. The fact that you feel these feelings shows that you are a manifestation of this hadith, that you are a part of this body, of this ummah. And again, that is a beautiful thing. And these emotions are also a sign of grief. And I remember hearing a definition of grief that I thought was very powerful, and it really stuck with me, which is that grief is simply love that has nowhere to go. Grief is a feeling of love that you have and you don't know where to put it. You don't know where to put it because that place that you would have conveyed that love to, that person you would have conveyed that love to, is no longer there. And so it reminded me, this definition reminded me of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. We love our brothers and sisters that we've never met. When we see our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Sudan, in China, in so many places of the world who are suffering, we love them. And when they suffer, we grieve for them because our love has no place to go. So allow these emotions to be a reminder to use that love for good, for positive change, for contribution. And allow this sadness, these worries, these fears for our brothers and sisters to propel us to do what we can for them. And to propel us toward a positive outlet for these emotions. So what are some positive outlets for these emotions? What are ways that we can take these feelings, right? So now we've, number one, acknowledge the feeling, right? We acknowledge, okay, this is what I'm experiencing as I'm witnessing this. Very important first step in managing our emotional response to this. That's the first step. The second step is understand what is the meaning of that emotion. The meaning of that emotion is that I care. I care about humanity. I care about justice. I care about my brothers and sisters. I'm a part of this ummah and this strong ummah, and that I'm grieving for them, right? Understand the meaning underneath these emotions, right? And now the third step is, now what do I do with them? What do I do with these emotions that's going to be a positive outlet for them? So realize that everything that's happening is a test. We know, obviously, that this is a very obvious and one of the hardest tests that a person can go through, what our brothers and sisters are enduring, right? They're enduring trauma upon trauma, pain upon pain. Like, I mean, it is unimaginable the amount of fear and difficulty they're going through unless somebody experiences it themselves, right? So that is their test. And it is an extremely, extremely difficult and intense test. But we are also being tested. And that's what we need to remember too. How are we being tested? We have to ask ourselves some questions. Like, what do I do when I see these images? What do I do when I'm scrolling on Instagram or whatever platform you're on, and I see a video that moves me, that makes me grieve, that makes me angry, that's devastating, that I can't get out of my head? What do I do when I see this image? Do I just scroll to the next one? When I feel uncomfortable, do I just scroll to the next one? Or even if I don't, I'm waiting to see what else is going to happen. This is a test. What do we do when we see what we're seeing? The least that we need to be doing is, at least after each video or image or post that we see, to stop and make dua. We can't just be bystanders. We can't just scroll through from one image to the next, to the next, to the next, without any change or without any proactive choice or action that we're going to be taking in that situation. We have to pause and do something meaningful, whether it's making dua for this particular person you see on this video, or whether it's making istighfar, asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because istighfar brings so many blessings. Right? We have to be doing something, right? Another question to ask ourselves is, what steps have I taken, no matter how small, to create change? Sometimes we fool ourselves, or shaitan fools us, into thinking that small actions won't make a difference, right? Sharing a post isn't going to make a difference, even though we've seen the power of that. Or reaching out to your representative won't make a difference. Or donating to an organization, well, there's no way that the money is going to get to Gaza right now, so we there's no point in donating. Don't fool yourself into thinking that, because our responsibility is not in the end result. Our responsibility is in putting in effort. like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever desires the hereafter and exerts the effort due to it while he's a believer, it is those whose effort is ever appreciated by Allah. Your job is the effort, and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So asking ourselves those questions. And then when we're talking about, okay, these outlets for these hard emotions, what are actionable ways we can deal with it? When you feel powerless, focus on what you can do. Like the advice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that whoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. If he can't, then change it with his tongue. If he can't, then with his heart, and that's the weakest level of faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us three outlets for these emotions. He gives us hands for physical action, right? We use our hands to promote physical action, our tongue for verbal action, and our hearts for spiritual action. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving us three routes that we can take when we feel powerless, when we see something that needs a change, that we have to try to create that change, right? So with our hands, you know, there are some very, very evident ones that we can do. You know, you can email your political representative, you can donate to organizations that are striving to help, right? But another thing that's important to realize that you can do too is to combat helplessness through helping others, right? Whether it's going to be helping our brothers and sisters there or also helping others in our own lives. Asking yourself, what good can I contribute in my daily life? Because every good deed, it weighs heavily on our scales, and it's powerful. And so being able to do that good, being able to strive for that good. There was a research study that showed that groups were split up, and one group was assigned that, okay, let's see what happens when you do a few simple, small acts of kindness, like just a few days a week, like 3 days a week. And then another group got like traditional therapy and the other group didn't get anything. In some cases, the group who did the acts of kindness actually had better results in alleviating anxiety and depressive symptoms than even the group that had traditional therapy. And traditional therapy is very helpful for anxiety and depression. And so helping others is not just for them, it's for ourselves. So if you're struggling to cope in this situation because you're feeling helpless, the antidote to helplessness is helping others. And so asking yourself, okay, is there somebody I can give a meal to? There's somebody in need that I can give a meal to. Or I know, you know, my friend, like if you, especially if you have a Palestinian friend and who's coping with this, let me give her a call and, you know, see how she's doing and check in on her. Do something kind for your parents, right? Helping others is a way of evoking change with your hands as well. And then now with your tongue. Right, the Prophet ﷺ gave us another outlet is through verbal action to create change. The first and most obvious one, and the one that is so easily dismissed by so many, is to make du'a. And people, when you hear the idea of making du'a, people view it as a very passive process, but it is very, very active. And people kind of view it as like, oh, it's a side note, of course, make du'a, but what else can I do? No, du'a is our superpower. The Prophet ﷺ said, nothing repels divine decree but supplication. Du'a can repel divine decree. Like that tells you the intense power of it. And it should not be underestimated. And so, you know, create a du'a list and place it somewhere where it's noticeable. And one of the things that helps me in this process, because I think one of the feelings that sometimes people can have as they're witnessing everything that's happening and continue to witness it day after day after day, week after week, is my du'a is not working, right? I've been making du'a, but nothing is changing, right? And I think one of the things that can provide a lot of comfort is the reminder of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says that there's no Muslim who calls upon Allah without sin or cutting family ties, but that Allah will give him one of three answers. So the three ways that du'a are accepted. He will quickly fulfill his supplication. So you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to see it right away. He will store it for him in the hereafter. So, you know, you will come on the day of judgment and you will find your scale piled with these da'at that have not been answered. Or he will divert an evil from him some similar to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop something bad from happening because of this da'at. And so his companion said, in that case, we'll ask for more. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, Allah has even more. One of the reasons why I find this very comforting is because I imagine, like, even if my du'a is not being seen exactly the way that I hope it to be seen when I'm making du'a for my brothers and sisters in Palestine, I think about how it could be stopping something bad from happening to one of them, right? Like something that would have hurt a child, that my da'at repelled that evil. And that really, I find that very inspiring to think about that, because we don't know. We don't know what was going to happen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's written. And so if your da'at can make a difference like that, that's a really powerful thought. And it can inspire you not to give up in it. The other thing to remind ourselves when we're talking about action with the tongue is tasbih, the remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this so powerful? Is because it reminds us of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and that He's here and He's near, and He has the power to create all change, and He has the strength to create all change, and He is the protector. It reminds us of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And also remember in the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. The Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was in layer upon layer upon layer of darkness, three layers of darkness. He was in the darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, and the darkness of the belly of the whale. And through all those darknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released him from all three layers of darkness just because of his one beautiful du'a, where he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin, that there's no God worthy of worship but you, and I was from amongst the wrongdoers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, he said, had he not constantly glorified Allah, had he not been from al-musabbihin, the ones who constantly remember Allah, glorify Allah, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the day of resurrection. And so we see here that our release too from these darknesses, and the release of the ummah from these darknesses, just like our Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was released, is to become from amongst al-musabbihin, the people who glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this antidote to hopelessness in those moments is to remember who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and to remember His power and His capability. And we can do that through remembering Him, through constant remembrance of Him. And then finally, the heart. And so we'll end with the heart, inshallah, which creating an outlet for these emotions through actions of the heart can be very, very powerful. And it can give us solace in these moments of difficulty and give us the solace that we need to continue to engage, to continue to be there for our brothers and sisters, and to continue to remember and think about them. And so one of the first ways to do this is, you know, I mentioned that a lot of us might struggle with survivor's guilt, right? Where you open your phone and you see the reality of your brothers and sisters, and it is so different from the reality that you're living. But you have to go from seeing that reality into your own reality, right? You vacillate between witnessing what they're going through and living your own reality. And that is very difficult because it leads to a lot of guilt, right? And so how do we navigate that is we try to create positive intentions. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that our deeds are only by their intentions, and a person will only have what they intended. And so we all have to step away from our phones and the pain that we're witnessing, you know, in order to do the things that we are responsible for in our lives. But doing it with a positive intention can be very, very helpful. And doing it with gratitude can be very, very helpful. So if you have to step away, to go to school and get your education, make it with a positive intention, that this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You are learning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling your responsibilities for his sake, and turn it into a dua for your brothers and sisters and the children there who have lost their opportunity for education, their schools, and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them better than what they've lost. That when you have to take care of your child, be present, invest in your child. That's our responsibility. And at the same time, intend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is my responsibility, with gratitude that I'm so grateful that I have my child here, while making dua for our brothers and sisters who have lost theirs, right? Work, sleep, all of these different things that we are stepping away from their pain and we are living our lives, do it with a positive intention and do it with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and transform that into dua for our brothers and sisters who are not experiencing the same ease that we're experiencing. And, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of this that we are being tested. One of our tests is this test of ease. They are being tested with tremendous hardship, and we are being tested with witnessing their hardship while living lives of ease. And the test of ease, we have to face that with gratitude. It doesn't mean that you forget all the tests of hardships that they're going through, but we have to face our test of ease with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now we transform it to du'as for them. And so this allows us the chance to positively turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gratitude while making du'a for them. The other thing, and I think if there's one point that you leave this talk with, just leave this talk with this point. This one I think is just the most important. And it's that when we're talking about these emotions, the overwhelm that we feel and an outlet for it, I don't think that there is a better outlet than strengthening the ummah through strengthening ourselves in our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming stronger Muslims, stronger and more obedient Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many stories have we heard of people opening the Quran and being transformed by the Quran recently and converting to Islam and finding the beauty in the miracle that is the Quran? And we've had this miracle, and it collects dust between Ramadan and Ramadan, right? Like, there are changes to strengthen our ummah. And so asking ourselves, what is a change I can make in my daily life, right? If the ummah is one body, then I am a part of that body. I am a part of that body. And my job is to strengthen the part of the body that I represent. And I can strengthen that by getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being more, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. We owe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. We owe it to ourselves. We also owe it to our brothers and sisters, because imagine meeting them in the hereafter and being able to tell them that they inspired your change, that they made you a better Muslim, that the extra prayers that you did were inspired by their resilience, and that you pray that they're rewarded immeasurably for what they inspired you to become. Realize that the source of all strength, the source of all power, the source of all strength, of all change, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we strengthen our connection to him, we strengthen the ummah as a whole. And so we have to work on ourselves. This is the best thing that we can do to strengthen ourselves as an ummah. And so leave today with one extra act of worship than you usually do, and make a commitment to stick with it long term. Not just now, like while all of this is happening, but long term. So maybe it's to pray two extra rak'ah every day, right? Maybe one of the sunnah prayers that's associated with a different obligatory prayers. Or maybe it's to read one extra verse of the Quran a day, one more than you usually read. Or it's to recite Ayatul Kursi in the morning and in the evening. Whatever it is, commit to it and make your intention that you're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to him, because that is the path to strengthening our ummah, right? And stick with it. And imagine your scales on the day of judgment and sticking with this one small good deed that's going to amplify and multiply, inshallah. And so I want to end with one final approach that I have personally found very helpful. I made a brief video about this too, but I want to elaborate a little bit on it. And this is a way to fill your heart, where I mentioned we are going through vicarious trauma, which is witnessing other people's trauma and that potentially being traumatic or at least just very painful for us. And so when you've seen an image or a video and it comes up in your mind and it just pops up there and you can't seem to get it out and it leads to distress and it's anxiety provoking and it's painful. And, you know, this happens. This happens because we're being bombarded with these images, right? And so transforming that picture in our minds in a way that is based on truth can be very powerful. This is called imagery rescripting, which is replacing one image with another. And I find it most helpful to replace this image based on the truth of the Quran. And I want to give you three examples that you can take, right? So if you are seeing a video or you've seen a picture and you're feeling crushed with witnessing the pain that our brothers and sisters are experiencing and you feel powerless to be able to console them, right? Like you just want to be able to give this child a hug. You just want to be able to give them some sort of support, some sort of ease, and you can't alleviate their pain. Remember the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when they go to Jannah, inshallah, Allah in the Quran says that they're going to say, "Praise be to Allah who has removed from us all sorrow. Indeed, our Lord is forgiving and appreciative. He is the one who out of his grace has settled us in the home of everlasting stay where we will be touched by neither fatigue nor weariness." So you take that image and you replace it with the image that this verse brings up in your mind of them not being tired, not being weary, that all the sorrow has been removed from them. And you picture that. You picture that because it's a promise of Allah. When you're grieving the loss, when you see these posts of 800, you know, like 1,000 lives or, you know, like all of these different people who have been, I mean, just so much death, so much loss, so much pain. And when you're grieving that and you see these pictures, picture a scene in Jannah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, they will have gardens of lasting bliss graced with flowing streams. There they will be adorned with bracelets of gold. There they will wear green garments of fine silk and brocade. There they will be comfortably seated on soft chairs. What a blessed reward. What a pleasant resting place. And picture them. You know, picture these images that you've seen of so many of our brothers and sisters in pain or having died, and picture them with these streams, with these bracelets of gold, with these green silk garments, sitting on soft chairs, right? Picture it. And then one of the things that stands out to so many of us when we see the people who have passed away is we think about the ones that they've left behind. And so when we grieve the people who have been left behind, who are torn apart by the death of their loved ones and have lost so many loved ones, picture the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their reunion, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "The gardens of eternity which they will enter along with the righteous among their parents, spouses, and descendants. And the angels will enter upon them from every gate, saying, 'Peace be upon you for your perseverance. How excellent is the ultimate abode.'" Picture that reunion. Picture the reunion where not only are they going to be reunited with the people that they've lost and the people that they loved, but that angels are going to come and speak to them and say, "Peace be upon you for your perseverance." So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the best of rewards in this life and in the next, and grant them every possible goodness, grant them success and victory and freedom from this oppression. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your efforts to bring awareness to this, to be aware of it, to support your brothers and sisters, and allow us the ability to continue to do that. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair, Sister Sarah. That was probably the deepest breaths I've taken in a long time, subhanAllah. That was so, so necessary. Jazakum Allah khair for making this such a practical and such a healing session. I can tell, mashallah, so many people benefited. And Jazakum Allah khair to those who've been leaving your notes and your gems that you've been benefiting from in the chat. We'll take some time to take questions, inshallah. So I'll give you guys an opportunity to write some on the topic of today's talk, inshallah, and to ask them to Sister Sarah, inshallah, in just a couple of minutes. But honestly, subhanAllah, I don't know. I don't even know how what to say, but the imprint for how to experience this, and it's been so beneficial to have our, people of knowledge, and especially our mental health professionals come in and to educate the community, because I feel like a lot of people have not experienced trauma to this level, or like, you know, contact trauma or whatever the official word is, just seeing somebody else's pain and feeling it so heavily. And I feel like, alhamdulillah, this has been a very, with all the bad that comes with it, this has been a very beneficial and educating experience for the community to learn how we approach this, and to even those who are not really close to their deen, you know, looking for answers through their, you know, Islamic sources and looking for answers in the deen, because that's what's brought us together, subhanAllah. I've said there's no blueprint for this, but it has been such an amazing resource, your Islamic mental health course, Inside Out, Outside In, with Al Maghrib Institute, that we've made available, which I hope that everyone who is here, who is listening, takes advantage of. Because if you benefited from some of the tools and some of the, advice that Sister Sarah has given us in this session, you are going to absolutely love and benefit immensely from the content in that course, because we tackle a lot of the things, like Sister Sarah, you just mentioned here, you know, about trauma, about equipping yourself again with those tools to deal with emotions and actions and all those practical mental health skills that you need to have. And a lot of these taboo topics that we just now as a community are getting comfortable speaking about and addressing, and you know, our leaders are mentioning that they're struggling, and that this is something that we need to address as a community. So Jazakum Allah for this course and for this talk. It was immensely beneficial. I did have some questions that have come up over the course of the past little while we also bring some questions in from the chat. And if you mentioned a question a little earlier, if you can please just repost it here in the chat so that we don't lose out, that would be amazing, inshallah. So one question, Sister Sarah, is that how do you navigate conversations or interactions with people who obviously on the other side, or who are maybe not as educated, and they downplay or they dismiss the existence of the injustice that's happening, or they try to change the terminology and change the facts of the matter? How do you navigate that when you're so frustrated and like just overwhelmed and sometimes angry about what you're hearing on social media and in person when you're
interacting? That's an excellent question, mashallah, because that's something that we do deal with, right? And there is such a thing as righteous anger, right? Which is that anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we see oppression, when we see injustice, is a thing, you know, and it's something that we experience. And again, the meaning underneath that is that it shows our humanity and our care and our love for our brothers and sisters and our wanting justice. That's something that's so, so important. One of the things that I try to think about in those situations is, you know, there are places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the Quran. And I don't know for all of you, but one thing I noticed in my like daily Quran routine is that the meaning of verses hit me in a really different way since all of this this genocide began, right? And there are some verses that hit me in a way where it just kind of shows a different meaning, right? And so one of them is, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that basically your job is to convey the message. Right? You know, you might be saddened by what they say, but your job is to convey the message. Our job is to convey, right? We try our best and we try to do it in a way that is as applicable to our audience with hikmah, with wisdom, as we can, right? And whether a person is going to have an open heart and an open mind, then that's not up to us. That's going to be up to them, whether they're going to open up enough to be able to hear this. And it's going to be up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, right? Of course. And so being able to acknowledge that and to realize, okay, my effort is, that's my responsibility. Whether that is retained or accepted by this person, I can't do anything about that. And so I've done my part. I've done my part in sharing a viewpoint that's based on fact and based on reason and based on Islam. And if this person is not going to accept it, then I can't do anything about that. But yes, I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to feel angry. But you also have to know when to step away. You have to also know when the person you're speaking with is just not somebody who's going to be open-minded, because then it's a fool's errand, right? Where you're just wasting your energy on that. So you try to, you know, you try your best to do it in a way that's going to resonate with them. But it's, if it doesn't happen, know when to call it and take a step back.
Yeah, that's very practical. I see some comments, but if we can try to condense, if you have a question, if you can condense it a little bit into one message, that would be, actually, I get the gist of it. So someone's messaging that basically they were very invigorated and on social media, and they were interacting a lot, fearlessly responding to people on social media, and they started getting targeted by Zionists, who started bullying them, and now you know, their family's telling them to kind of step away, so that just for out of safety reasons. Where do you draw the line or boundaries in terms of the way the things that you say and the way that you interact online? Like, do you have any guidelines for how we can respond to people on social media responsibly?
So, you know, it's a hard question, because my personal approach will be different than other people's personal approaches. But I think that one thing that's important is, you know, like in this situation where safety, a person's safety becomes an issue, and unfortunately it's scary how much that has been becoming an issue, right? It is important to take precautions, right? If you realize that your safety for any reason has been threatened, then going along the appropriate chain and process to ensure that you're safe is important. Right? Like, take it, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us, if you see some sort of evil, right, then our responsibility is to help the oppressed and the oppressor, right? And so if you are in a situation where you are being oppressed, right, where you are being intimidated, and, you know, there could be a danger to you, you have to help yourself in that situation. That is very important. I also think that everybody has a different perspective, but I think the online arguing back and forth in comments doesn't really create too much change. And it can create a lot of animosity, because the nature of online discourse is very dehumanizing. People become keyboard warriors, and they say things that they would never say to somebody else's face. And so making sure that the way that you're approaching this issue, you know, I was just hearing, I was attending a tafsir class, and one of the things that one of the participants mentioned that she so admired about the way Muslims are dealing with this is, when you go to a pro-Palestinian protest, people are expressing things in a respectful but strong way. Strong and respectful. Versus if you hear some of other people's feedback, it's done in a way that's very... that uses profanity, that is insulting, that is, there's just a lot of inappropriateness in the way that it's being conveyed. That doesn't do us any service if that's the way that we're trying to convey our opinions. And so doing it in a way that is strong but respectful, I think always leaves you with the upper hand. Always leaves you with the upper hand. Doing things within the bounds of what is appropriate as a Muslim in the way that we convey our thoughts, and, you know, without profanity, without direct insult to that person, but instead trying to challenge what they're saying rather than using derogatory language toward them, that is more representative of us as Muslims. And so I think that, you know, it's hard to give specific input on how, you know, to go about this, but I would just say, think about, like, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reading this comment, would he be proud of you, right? Would he be proud of you and the way that you're handling it, right? Remember the situation where the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and somebody came and he was like berating him and stuff like that, and he stayed silent, and then Abu Bakr started to respond to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and left, and he said, I don't stay in the same place where the shaitan has entered, right? So it's not to say that we can't speak up for ourselves. We absolutely can, but think about it in terms of, what would the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam think about this particular comment? I think that sometimes can help us to differentiate what is what's helpful and what's not.
Beautifully said, Sister. Yeah, you're very right. It's a very fine line, and not a lot of us balance it super well in terms of actually making an impact and helping the cause. Some people, you can just push people away from the cause in the way that you can respond. So it's definitely an important, like, it's a responsibility how we address things. So a few more questions have come in, so I'll try to sift through as fast as we can. There was one earlier that came in privately, physiological response, for example, like the lack of sleep, like stomach cramps, like headache, like just the stress that's coming out from just being exposed to this. Is there anything that you can do specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of us are experiencing those physiological symptoms, and a lot of us are having responses that you might not even realize are from the fact that we're witnessing so much, And so if it becomes intense, I would definitely recommend that you reach out to a therapist, preferably a Muslim one, or anybody who at least will be pro-Palestinian, right? Because it won't be a helpful engagement or relationship if the person is not understanding that, right? But if it gets bad, I would definitely recommend seeing a therapist to help with coping skills through this. But just for some basic ones, doing physiological therapeutic exercises can be very helpful, and it's something that's recommended in therapy. So this is something as simple as deep breathing, right? Where you breathe in for 4, you hold for 4, you exhale for 6, right? Doing deep breathing when you're noticing when you're noticing that your physical symptoms are coming up can be very helpful. Look into a method called the emotional freedom technique tapping. You can find videos on how to do it. That can also be very helpful for physiological anxiety symptoms. Mindfulness exercises can be helpful, and they can be helpful, especially when you do it in conjunction with Islamic things. So, you know, if a mindfulness exercise is, you know, like an imagery kind of exercise, you know, in like you're picturing nature, or if it's a mindfulness exercise where you're actually walking outside in nature and you're noticing that, like, turn it into something that connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you go out in nature and you look at the trees, saying these, like being from al-musabbihin, the people who glorify Allah, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, right, for the blessings around you and everything, being out in nature can be very, very helpful for that too. So those are just a few simple suggestions. One other one is progressive muscle relaxation. Again, you can Google that and you can find videos to guide you through it. But these are all like therapeutic approaches that take on a physiological approach to anxiety symptoms. So inshallah, they can be helpful.
Jazakallah khair. That was a lot of really beneficial suggestions, mashallah. I see some more questions coming in. So one person was asking about how do you deal with information and questions from our children. I don't think we have time to address it fully, but I know you've addressed it in videos on Instagram as well. And Al-Maghrib actually has also created Raising Giants, the Ilm Spring course with Brother Amin Asir and Noor Kids, to specifically have an age-appropriate conversation around this, yes, you know, like tragedy that's been going on, the genocide in Gaza, and addressing it with children through a series
of
weeks.
A little plug. I highly recommend it. So that course is going to be amazing, right? Like, so first of all, that one. Noor Kids is an amazing resource, mashallah. They have a ton of posts on their Instagram page exactly about that question, how to address this with kids in kid-appropriate language. They have a webinar that they did that was beautifully done that you can actually watch with your child. And it's like long and it has a lot of content and everything. And it's actually the line that I said of like Dot being your superpower, I got from that webinar. It's like, yeah, it was great, mashallah. So yeah, definitely I would recommend looking into that also. I can't remember who published this. I think something Mian, but she has a book called Ilyas Explains, and it's an entire free PDF ebook of how that you can read through with your kids, which is in a, like a kind of a story format, conversational format about explaining Palestine and the struggle of like what's happening to your children. So it's a great resource too.
Awesome, Sasa. So there's multiple resources for you who was asking. Jazakallah khair for the question. The next question is, or someone's mentioning, is like one thing I've noticed that it suddenly becomes a competition in terms of who's doing more for Palestine, and on social media as well, who's boycotting more, who's doing that. How do you navigate? Like, is that healthy? Is that good intention to approach the situation with? Because sometimes it can be like, oh, you're not wearing a keffiyeh today. You're not, you know, you're not representing enough. You weren't at that protest yesterday. How do you?
Another really, really great question, mashallah. One of the things that social media, there's a lot of benefit to social media in this particular situation, but one of the struggles that comes with it is performative, what's the word that they use? Like kind of performative action, you know, like with trying to be like, okay, I posted 20, you know, 20 story shares and 3 posts today about this topic and everything, so people can see how intensely invested I am, right? It's so hard to check our intentions. It's so hard to check our intentions. And social media makes it so much harder because it's all about likes and how many people have seen it, how many people agree with me, and how many followers I have and things like that. It makes it very, very, very hard. And so like the best piece of advice I can give you on that is making du'a for sincerity, right? Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify your intentions so that you know that you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for the sake of people seeing you do it, right? So naturally, when you share something, you want people to see it because that's the whole point of sharing this information. But making the intention, I want people to see it because I want it to weigh on my scales on the day of judgment as a sadaqah jariyah, like as an ongoing charity. I want people to benefit from it. I want to create a new narrative. I want to share information that's valuable. This, my intention is that I am changing what I can with my hand. And since I can't change it with my hand by doing something over there, I'm changing it with my hand by typing something here. Right? Sharing this post, creating this post, creating this content, going to this protest, doing these things, checking the, just reminding yourself of the intention. If shaitan tries to get in and everything, you've tried to remind yourself of the intention and you're making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity, but that's an ongoing lifelong battle and it's gotten harder with social media. But don't let shaitan get in the way of tricking you that like my intention is messed up, so I'm not going to do it. Because that's also another trick of shaitan. So keep going, but just be cognizant and be mindful of your intention to try and make it very purposeful, inshallah, and make du'a.
Beautifully said. Jazakumullah khair, Sister Sarah. Sorry, we're at just a little past the hour now. Apologies for taking the liberty with that extra bit of time, but that was an amazing Q&A and an amazing session. And I hope that everyone here benefited. And if you benefited for it personally, please do share that because you don't know who's dealing with what. I was shocked to see, you know, out after time that some people in my circle were having such a heavy time or were saying things that were like, almost like, subhanAllah, like shirky in the way that they were responding to it because they just had been sitting with these emotions and not getting proper guidance and how to navigate them. And this is why we're here. This is why this session is happening. Jazakallah khair, Sister Sarah, for making that possible. And everyone who's here, please, there's no excuse. Please make sure that you do check out Inside Out, Outside In, all the things that their various forms. She speaks at length on in the class Inside Out, Outside In about how to navigate these feelings and these mental health challenges that have been arising from not just this experience, but our experience as Muslims. So please do make sure that you check that out. The link is almaghrib.online. It's in the description as well. Share that with other people you don't know who needs it and who's struggling, and it's pay what you can, so it's open for everyone to benefit from. Jazakallah khair, Sarah, once again. Any final words before we close off?
Jazakallah khair for having me here and giving me the ability to speak about this. I find it so helpful for myself to be able to talk about this topic, alhamdulillah, with like-minded people. And then please, yeah, I think that registering for the course, one of the things that I really appreciate about Al Maghrib is that they realized that mental health content was really needed in our community and they made it pay what you want. So, you know, no matter what you can afford, you can access that information. And it's something I very much appreciate about Al Maghrib Institute, mashallah. So jazakumullah khair to all of you for doing that.
Of course, always. At this time, it was so necessary, and alhamdulillah that we had access to these kind of resources, and we hope that as many people as possible can benefit. Inshallah, we hope to see y'all in the course and to interact with you guys. person very soon. Sister Sarah, jazakallah khair once again. And it's such a chaotic, like emotional roller coaster of a time. Every time we get a bit of a break from that, and then we learn how to just fix everything that's going on in our minds and then come out as more productive members of society, as protesters, as Muslims, as advocates for the cause. May Allah make that heavy in your scale as well. Amin, ya Rabbal
Alameen. Amin, all of us. Amin.
For now, take care. And happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone.